Here they come. Turn four. Final lap.
Rev up your engines and get ready for the racing weekend.
Here they come. Checkered flag.
It's Chasing Checkers with your host, Chase McCabe, on Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
And that's right, everybody. Welcome in to another season of Chasing Checkers here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, thegamenashville.com. ChasingCheckersRadio.com is where you can get all of the information as well. I'm Chase McCabe and pleased to be able to do this once again, because you all know that I love NASCAR, IndyCar, all forms of auto racing, and we're going to talk about it over the course of the next several months here on Chasing Checkers. New day, new time. We have moved to Sunday mornings at 8 here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And the reason that we have done that is because NASCAR is now going to be aired on ESPN 102.5 The Game and ESPN 94.9 this season, starting later today with the clash at the LA Coliseum. Coverage gets underway at 1:30 from MRN, the Motor Racing Network. So very excited to have MRN and PRN involved with us this year, and it just made sense to air the show on race day. So that's exactly what we are going to do. It's all presented by Social Furniture on Charlotte Avenue in West Nashville. Shop local, shop social. And we thank them for being part of our coverage for the Daytona 500, because yes, in 2 weeks, I will be at the Daytona International Speedway. We will be doing some special shows that we'll tell you about for the Daytona 500. So really, really looking forward to that. We got a great show planned for you today. Coming up at about 8:30 or so, we'll talk to Ricky Stenhouse Jr., the driver of the number 47, of course, as he gets ready for the clash and the Daytona 500. But I wanted to start things off. We did the midday show, Darren Donick and Chase, 10 to 2 weekdays. We did that from the banquet, from the Champions Week when they were here in December. And I had a chance to sit down with Joey Logano to talk about Champions Week and the new car and his season and all of those things. And we got so much that we never got to air it. So you never got to hear it. So I decided, what a better way to kick off Season 5 of Chasing Checkers than by talking to Joey Logano, somebody that has been on this show quite a bit and I know will continue to be on this show quite a bit. So without further ado, here's the conversation that I had with Joey Logano back in December at Champions Week.
Joey, Nashville is a good spot. You were here a couple years ago, obviously back racing at the Super Speedway, but how's your week been so far?
It's been good. I just got here yesterday, and we did some burnouts on the boulevard, which is pretty cool. Burnouts on Broadway, I guess is what they call it here now. So
yeah.
I'm used to Vegas still, but definitely a really that's a fun experience. You know, I think every person loves a burnout. I don't know who doesn't like cars doing badass burnouts. You know what I mean? So it was doing that right down, you know, right in the city center, you know, on Broadway, and you know, seeing all the neon lights and cars smoking them out, and the three Penske cars went out there together.
That was awesome.
Cool. That was great.
How did that come to be? Who came up with that?
That was my wife's idea.
Really?
Yeah. She said, you guys should do all something cool together. I said, all right, that's a good idea. So some convincing to the teammates, and I said, let's just go out there and put all three bumpers together and burn them down.
So there's not really anything you can practice.
No, there was no practice in there, and there was no asking if this was okay either.
So well, it was just, you asked for forgiveness.
You have to on things like that, yeah. If you want to do cool stuff, sometimes you just got to do it.
So,
and you know, afterwards, everyone thought it was so cool that we weren't going to get in trouble for it.
Well, and like, so I see all three of you, and I'm like, okay, that's kind of cool. Brad's last, you know, their last thing with Brad, you know, as he moves on, and and I'm thinking, okay, you're just going to do burnouts together. And then I see you fishtail it to go and line up with them. And I'm like, what the hell are they trying to do? Like, so it was – and where I was, like, it was the perfect spot to see it all line up. What happened to Blaney, though? He bailed out early.
I don't think he – well, to me, the best burnouts always go until something breaks.
Like,
why would you stop until a tire blows out or the motor explodes? And so once we were done, like, we did the – I don't know. LaJoy called it the Iron Lotus.
Yeah.
I don't know. Call it whatever you want. But once we were done with that, I couldn't see for a minute because the whole cockpit was filled up with smoke.
Yeah.
And I wasn't moving, so the smoke wasn't getting out of the – you know, all the tire smoke wasn't getting out of the cockpit. So it took a minute to like clear up to see where I was at, and then I was like, "Well, shoot, I still got tire left. Let's keep going." I saw Brad was doing burnouts, and then I was Blaney left. So Blaney was already up on the stage.
I know
he was on the stage, and we were still burning him down.
He walks up on the stage, and I hear him go, "Oh, we're not done." So it was pretty funny. Cool. So I know some drivers said that they just brought their Phoenix backup car. Did you have a show car? Did you have a real motor in
it? We had a real car. I don't know what car it was. Yeah. No idea what car it was, but we had a real car.
I mean, you're not going to use those cars again. Might as well just tear them up, right?
That's what I said. I said, you know, the three of us go out there, and it's like, well, it's a tight area. What if we hit something? I was like, oh, well, what are we going to do? These cars are garbage anyway.
Yeah, so. Hamlin clipped the wall because you got, like, because I know on a racetrack, you obviously know where it is and you kind of know the feel of the racetrack. On a street that you're not on, you know, did you have a sense of where the wall was and kind of where the safe zone was?
I do, until you lose your vision.
Yeah.
Then you're in trouble. Right, because once you – if you do a few donuts in a row, right, and it like and you smoke the place up pretty good, you lose track of where the walls are.
Yeah.
You just can't see it. And so then that gets a little – then you got to stop and sit still for a second and figure out which way's up. But I'd say for the most part yesterday I knew where everything was. Once the smoke cleared out of the cockpit.
Yeah, well, it was awesome. And obviously a lot of celebration going on, but this city is very important to your sport. We know the Nashville Super Speedway had a fantastic first weekend. What did you think of the track? You had won there before in the Xfinity Series. I think that was your first win, if I'm not mistaken.
Second win. Yeah.
But early on in your career, you come back 10 years later with the Cup cars. What did you think of the racing there?
I thought it was actually really good. You know, I think when you looked at, you know, they went there, they put the resin down on the racetrack, kind of a different thing. Yeah. Okay, what's that going to be like? But the track was wide, and I've never seen – I mean, yes, it's 10 years since we've been there, I've been there, but usually the track was on the bottom. The line was running the bottom in the corners, and it didn't really widen out more than the second groove. And we were racing up by the wall.
Yeah.
I was like, when did this happen? You know, so that was kind of neat to see. It was a really – actually good race. And the fans were – this place was packed.
Yeah.
All the way through. So just shows that what Nashville and NASCAR just – they go together, right? It just seems to be the natural fit. You see that at the racetrack. You hear about it at the Nashville Fairgrounds all the time, right?
Sure.
There's some hype around that this week. And then, you know, you see it last night, you know, on Broadway with the fans lined up on both sides, you know, as we're here for a banquet, right? It's not even a race. There's no race, and there's fans dressed up in their favorite driver's gear ready to get going and watch their favorite driver out there, and we're not even racing. We're just out there doing donuts, you know? So that's pretty cool to see the passion that Nashville brings to NASCAR.
You mentioned the fairgrounds with the news, you know, SMI getting involved, and obviously still some hoops to jump through, but the vision's getting clearer on potentially having NASCAR racing there. And I know people ask, okay, well, what about the Super Speedway? And they'll figure all that out. But I feel, living here, knowing the fan base and knowing, like you just said, the thirst for racing, that both can work. They're very different racetracks. From a driver's point of view, if that was to be the case, because I know a lot of you feel like maybe we don't need to go to the same place twice. Let's get more tracks involved. If it's the same market, two very different racetracks, how do you feel about that?
I think that works better than going to the same racetrack twice.
Yeah.
Right? If we went to the Super Speedway or the Fairgrounds two times, I would say, no, that's not good. Because when you look at what happened last year, we went to Nashville, we went to Road America, we went to COTA, went to these new racetracks, and all three of them were packed houses. Packed out, fans on top of each other, loving it, thinking it's the coolest experience of their lives. And it was something... because it was new, it was unpredictable, no one knew it was going to happen, you got to see it. You want to know what's going to happen. But if you go to the same racetrack twice, you kind of have an idea what's going to happen the second time.
Right.
You know, so I think moving the schedule around like we're doing is important. Bringing on new racetracks, trying new things. Shoot, this next-gen car, you want to talk about new things.
Yeah,
You got plenty of new stuff to talk about there. So, I mean, I think moving things up and changing things up, whether it's the car or the rules or racetracks, I think that for one – promotes really good racing. You know, as there's more separation in the field, sometimes that promotes better racing.
Sure.
And some of that unpredictability with not knowing what's going to happen, the fans think that's really exciting, and it really draws a huge crowd and great ratings.
Yeah, no doubt. How are you feeling about the next gen car? I know it's still a work in progress.
We got some work to do as well. I mean, everybody does, right? We're starting at a clean slate. You know, you think about how many years we worked on the Gen 6 car. That we had an idea of how to fix a ill handling problem for the most part.
Sure.
You can get something close. You knew what was wrong. Now it's,
yeah.
what are we gonna do? How do you fix this thing? What makes it go fast? What do we do on pit stops? What do we do for strategy? We're only gonna have, it sounds like, 15 minutes of practice or so, which is nothing.
Yeah.
You can't do much in that amount of time. So. Yeah, as you can imagine, the preparation is going to be so important, but we don't even know how to prepare yet.
Right.
And this whole thing. So when you think about some of those challenges coming in our way, I mean, it's going to be a very busy off season and a very interesting first half of the season, at least, as teams just kind of keep, I think they're going to be leapfrogging each other as they
sure.
kind of figure things out.
Yeah, and then you you're going to pack into a quarter mile at a stadium and tear them all up. So that'll be fun.
Why not? We'll have brand new cars. We'll knock the new rate off of them.
Exactly. Joey, it's good to see you. Thanks as always. Have fun in Nashville.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
I always enjoy my chats with him because he's very thoughtful on things and just a good conversation. So hope I get to catch up with him maybe in Daytona. And of course, later on in the season. Up next, the next-gen car. We've been talking about it for a long time. It has hit the track. You are going to hear from the drivers that have been testing it. I'm going to give you my thoughts on it because I think we are in for a wild ride, but a good ride. That's all up next on Chasing Checkers. Social Furniture on Charlotte Avenue in West Nashville. Shop local, shop social here on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
If you've missed any of today's show, just search Chasing Checkers on Apple, Spotify, or your favorite podcast platform.
It's Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We're streaming on the Game Nashville app. You can check anything out that you may have missed at thegamenashville.com. You can also subscribe to us on iTunes, on Google, on Spotify, on Amazon. Just search for Chasing Checkers. It's that simple. And we're on all the social media platforms as well. Twitter at @Chasen_checkers. There's a blog that has Chasing Checkers taken. That's unfortunate. Chasing Checkers Radio on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube as well. Welcome into Season 5. It's good to be here. Chase McCabe here with you. And our coverage presented by Social Furniture on Charlotte Avenue in West Nashville. Shop local, shop social. Glad you got to hear Joey Logano because that was a fun conversation that we never got to air. We had so much. I mean, Kyle Busch, Chase Elliott, Denny Hamlin, just to name a few. We had every champion come by and sit down. So that was a lot of fun to be able to do that at Champions Week. And like I said, we're going to have special coverage at Daytona as well coming up in a couple of weeks. But one thing we're going to see later today, of course, at the Clash, and they've been practicing and qualifying and all those things, we're going to see the next-gen car, this car that we have been talking about for, it seems like, 3 years, and it got delayed because of the pandemic. It was supposed to debut in 21. They moved it to this year. And now we're finally going to see all this work that NASCAR and the teams and the drivers have been putting in for this to make its debut. And I'm curious about it. I think everybody is curious about it because we just don't know exactly what it's going to look like because it's very different from what they've done before. But I think this is a new era of NASCAR. You've heard me use that phrase before. When I talked to Steve O'Donnell back in November at Phoenix, he liked that phrase. It's a new era in NASCAR. You're seeing new tracks. You're seeing new concepts like the Clash at the Coliseum. You're seeing a new car. They're making it more cost-effective for teams. You're going to have new owners come in. Michael Jordan came in. Pitbull is a part of things now. I think this is a very, very good time for motorsports in general, but NASCAR specifically, because you're going to see them try and take these steps that we saw back in the 90s when it just really blew up and everybody was a huge fan of it. They're trying to get back to that, and they know that the competition that they have. I still think they need to look at the schedule and getting out of the NFL season, but all of those things can come in time. But what exactly is this new car going to be? I mentioned some of the drivers that sat down with us at the Champions Week in Nashville in December. Denny Hamlin was one of those. And I got his thoughts then on the next-gen car.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's different. That's something that you're going to hear a lot of. Every driver's going to say it's different. And but it's going to be an evolving process. I always like to undersell and overdeliver, not the other way around. So I think it will be a learning process. I think it'll take a few months for these teams to really hone in on this car and get the racing kind of where it needs to be. Certainly there's supply chain issues that we kind of are a little worried about when it comes to how many cars we're going to have to start the season. Do we need to preserve them and not wreck them early in the season?
Like at the Clash.
All that stuff like really, really matters. I mean, that yeah. The first thing we have to do is be able to show up,
yeah.
right, with a car. And so certainly it's late in the game. We're 60 days from racing-ish. We better be ready. And certainly I think that NASCAR's got a game plan to make this car the best it possibly can be.
And they did have a game plan. And basically what we have seen in the quote-unquote off-season since they left Phoenix is they've been testing this car. They've had different test sessions at the Charlotte Motor Speedway. They've had test sessions at the Daytona International Speedway. They went back to Phoenix for a test session because they view Phoenix as it kind of races like a short track. But the bottom line in all of this is going to be that just because they've been testing doesn't mean it's going to be great from day one. And that's my message to you, the race fan, of, you have to understand that they got to figure it out as they go. And really the best way to figure something out that's new and is different than what they've done before is by actually doing it and putting it in a race. And that's what you're going to see. Can you really learn much on a quarter-mile exhibition race? Maybe a little, but probably not a lot, because they're not going to race on quarter miles. It's Daytona in 2 weeks that you're going to see, something different for the super speedways. And then when you get into the Las Vegases and back to Phoenix and Charlotte and these intermediates and tracks like that you're really going to see what it is moving forward. In fact, Dale Earnhardt Jr. jumped in the car about a month or so ago when they were testing at Daytona. He did a 2-day test for Hendrick and got to run Larson's car and gave his thoughts on it.
When I drove the car at Bowman Gray, I only drove a few laps. I wish I'd ran a lot more, but I was amazed at how well the car had forward bite and drive off the corner. With the independent rear suspension, the car just gets out of a corner better. It works. The tires work independent of each other. The rear suspension works independent of each other. Whereas the rear end housing of an old 4.9-inch, they sort of argue and fight against each other as you're trying to go around the track. And so that was pretty fun to feel. I think that when you go to Martinsville or even obviously the road courses and places like that, that the way this car is going to throttle and exit is going to be much better. The braking power and ability of the car is 10 times better, and the car just really stops real well with less potential for lockups and so forth.
The bottom line is we just don't know exactly, and I think that's a good thing. I mean, I think that you're going to get curiosity piqued by what I call the novice race fan, those race fans that last year at the Nashville Super Speedway, they heard NASCAR was coming back, and they're like, you know what, I'm going to buy a ticket, I'm going to go check it out. And they did, and they had a good time, and they saw good racing, and now they watch. Or the fan that during the pandemic, when it was the first sporting event that really came back, they watched. Huh, that'd be fun. I'll go check it out. But not the diehards like me that just live and breathe it, and some of you listening out there. But I think this is what NASCAR wants. NASCAR wants to do different things to try and draw people in and see what happens. And we're at a crossroads in the sport, or we're past the crossroads. We're at a point in the sport where things are going to be different. Things are going to change. And you're going to have the older drivers like the Denny Hamlins and Kyle Busches and Kurt Busches that, they're on the back nine, so to speak. Maybe not Kyle Busch, but you know what I mean. On the back nine of their career, that they're curious and they want to see what they can do to help with this car, to help for the next generation of driver. And then you have the young drivers that have come in, like Chase Elliott, the new face of the sport, Christopher Bell, Bubba Wallace, guys like that, who knows what this does for their career. But I do think it is interesting because of the model that NASCAR has put forth with this is, like I said, they want to draw in new owners. They want to make it more cost effective for teams. What does that mean for smaller teams? Does that mean that you're going to have these smaller teams be more competitive now? I mean, I think that is certainly a question on everybody's mind. But as Chase Elliott will tell you, it's all about the driver, and the top drivers are still going to be the top drivers.
I think the top drivers are always going to be the top drivers. I think the guys who are really good are always going to be really good. And I think whether there's a really large window of an opportunity or a really small one to differentiate yourself from the next guy, I think your really talented drivers are going to find that, and they're going to be able to replicate it more often than not. And I think that goes in the same tune with the teams. I think the smart people are going to figure things out quicker than the ones who aren't. And the innovators and leaders are going to have more success with finding those things than the guys who are following. So I don't know that a lot's going to change there. You might be working in a different window, but I think the guys who are really good are still going to be really good, and the teams who are really good are still going to be hard to beat. Hopefully it gives opportunity to folks who might not have as much funding to compete on a higher level. But I still think we're still racing. We're still motorsports, and we all know how that works.
And that statement right there is why I am so excited about this car. You're putting it back in the hands of the drivers. You're not making these things. I mean, they're all very similar, but it's going to showcase the driver. And so the good drivers are going to rise to the top, which has been happening. I mean, the Gen 6 car kind of did that too, much better than the car of tomorrow. That you're going to see the best driver showcased, and that's what needs to happen. Now, I want to see, some others that maybe have been, with teams like I always thought that Bubba Wallace was a talented driver. And he just wasn't with a very good team. Now he's with, 23-11. He got a win. It was a rain-shortened win, whatever. He got a win. They're going to go into year two now as a team. They're going to add Kurt Busch, which I think is going to be huge for him, of having Kurt Busch as a teammate. I still think Bubba Wallace is a talented driver, and you're going to see him win races. But that's what this car is going to do. It's going to put it in the hands of the driver even more so than the Gen 6 car, and I think that's a good thing. Chase Elliott also talked about the change in the sport and being one of the drivers helping lead NASCAR into this new era.
Yeah, it's different. I've never gone through this, kind of my first time with a car change, especially one this big. And I think too, I'm not sure that this industry, or at least the Cup Series, has ever seen a change quite this large. I mean, they've changed bodies and things over the years, but a lot of the components were very similar to what they had prior to that. This is not. I mean, this is a very different approach. A lot of new things, new designs, and things like that. So it'll be interesting. I've told a lot of people I feel like there's going to be a lot change in the first 6 months of the season. I think people are likely going to go to some of these racetracks and probably not know exactly how they want to build their cars and have their cars trimmed out and what type of aerodynamic package you want to have. And then you're going to get 6 months into this deal and everybody's going to kind of have an idea and a direction of where they want to go, and you're probably going to see things close up, I would say, in the latter part of the year. But I'm anxious to go through that learning process and kind of see who guesses right first, and hopefully it's us. And then whether it is or isn't, you definitely want to make sure you're on the upswing at the right time, like always. And I think that swing is going to be a pretty big one this year.
So as we enter this change and it all happens, the question in everybody's mind going into the Clash later this afternoon, going into Daytona in a couple of weeks, going into the first half of the season, is the car ready? Are they going to have enough of them? Is the supply chain issue, is that going to be a problem? We're going to answer all of that. I mean, I don't see a scenario where all of a sudden they're saying, yeah, we got to run the Gen 6 car. But I think this is an exciting time for the sport and a fun time, and you're going to see good things. You just got to give it time. I mean, this season is going to be kind of the R&D season. You're going to see some stuff where you go, oh, man, that sucked. And then maybe the second time around at that track go, oh, okay, that's much better. They fixed that. It's patience. That's what it's got to be. That's just how this is all going to work. Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5, The Game. We're streaming on The Game Nashville app. Chase McCabe here with you. Up next, we're going to talk to Ricky Stenhouse Jr. He's the driver of the number 47 JTG Dougherty Racing Chevrolet. Of course, he'll be in the Clash. He'll be in the Daytona 500 as well. That's all coming up next. It's all presented by Social Furniture on Charlotte Avenue in West Nashville. Shop local, shop social. ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in to Chasing Checkers here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We're streaming on the Game Nashville app, and I told you we had a big show planned for our season premiere. We say hello to the driver of the number 47 Irish Spring Body Wash Chevrolet Camaro ZL1 for JTG Dougherty Racing. He's Ricky Stenhouse Jr. Ricky, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Man, just, you know, getting closer and closer to the season starting, so that's always a plus.
Yeah, are you ready to actually do some racing and not testing? I mean, I know you guys have had to do a ton of testing with the new car, and that's obviously all part of it, but it's time to let these bad boys go and see what they got.
It is time to get going, that's for sure. And, you know, I think no better way to start it off than the smallest track we'll ever race on. So it'll be cool to kind of get it going at the Clash and kind of seeing what kind of racing that's going to produce. But definitely, the testing has been nice, though. It's been a long time since we've had, you know, testing throughout an off season like we've had this year. And I've definitely enjoyed, you know, being in the car throughout the off season.
So with this new car, before I get into the Clash and the 500 and everything, with this new car, the idea is to obviously cut some costs down. But for a team like yours, I feel like this is going to be a benefit with how this is supposed to work. Are you starting to see that, or do you think it could take some time with the new car and how it could benefit the smaller teams?
Well, I mean, I think right now we're all, you know, seems like we're all fairly close in speed at a lot of these tests. And, you know, there's definitely some things that we're still going to learn throughout the season and, you know, throughout every single race that we do, just like the test sessions that we've learned. So, you know, I think right now is our best opportunity to kind of capitalize on a new car and, you know, the same car that everybody else has. So right now, I mean, I feel like we're all on a, you know, level playing field and looking to, you know, make sure we keep up with the changes and the things that we learn as quick as possible so that we can, keep competing, you know, with the bigger teams. So, so far, so good.
Well, now, one thing I guess that, you know, I've laughed at is you alluded to it with the Clash. You get this fancy new car and everybody's all excited about it, and then they're going to put you in a stadium and you guys are just going to tear them all up. That's basically how it's going
to work. I mean, our plan is to not tear them up. You know, our plan is to, just put on a good show for the fans. I mean, short track racing and the smallest tracks don't necessarily mean the biggest wrecks. Just,
right.
You know, a lot of pushing and shoving, which I think these cars can handle. So, I think it's a good venue. The track looks really good. I feel like NASCAR did a good job with, you know, getting it all put together. And, you know, I think it's definitely going to be crazy and definitely going to be something I feel like everybody should tune into.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. And I don't know if, you know, you're obviously a dirt racer. This is going to be on asphalt, but you're used to short track racing and smaller tracks. Does that help you at all, or just because it's so unknown, you just kind of have to go in and see what happens?
Yeah, I don't think it really helps. I think it's all just so new for everybody that, it's not going to matter, you know, who you are or what you've done. I think a lot of actually short track, you know, stock car racers will probably have a little bit of a benefit. But, you know, I think we all do this professionally, and it feels like maybe two or three laps to really get warmed up when we get on a new racetrack.
Talking to Ricky Stenhouse Jr., Kroger Delivery is going to be your partner, obviously, for Daytona. In Daytona 500, and they're going to be delivering 2,600 campers in the infield at the Geico West Grounds at Daytona International Speedway. That's going to be pretty cool.
Yeah, Kroger, you know, they always do, you know, massive kind of kickoff events at Daytona. And, you know, last year we didn't get that opportunity with, everything still kind of semi-shut down and travel restrictions and things like that. So it'll be good to get Kroger back, you know, and have their presence at the Daytona 500 back to normal. And, you know, we want to kick off a good show for them, you know, kind of the first weekend back. And it's pretty cool that, you know, Kroger Deliveries, you know, obviously, you know, getting bigger and bigger with the way our society and everything else is going to, you know, not going out to stores as much, and delivery is, you know, seems like a better option. So it'll be cool for the fans not to have to go out to the grocery store while they're at the racetrack and have that option that Kroger is going to deliver groceries to the track. So it'll be special.
Now, with the testing with the new car in at Daytona, I mean, how have you felt like it's handled in the draft? Does it feel similar to the old car, or what are going to be some of the differences that the fans might see in watching the race?
There's definitely a lot of similarities. I think, you know, some areas of drafting have, you know, kind of lessened. The side draft is maybe not as prominent as it once was, which in turn kind of make, you know, when you get a run on somebody, it's hard to kind of finish that pass by yourself now. It seems like while we were at the test, you needed to have a little bit of help, you know, to complete the pass. So I think the fans will notice that, you know, we were able to kind of push a little bit better than what we had been able to, you know, with our old car. So it'll be interesting to kind of see, you know, how that all plays out and shakes out, you know, when we get down there for the race. Because I feel like in the test, you know, you test and test and test, and then you get to the race and everything's a little bit different because, you know, people push a little bit harder and you're learning, you know, throughout the race.
So I went to my first dirt race a few years ago when they put dirt on the Fairgrounds Speedway here in Nashville. World of Outlaws had an event here. I think you had a car in it. I actually met your dad. It was here. But I kind of got into it a little bit, keeping up with dirt racing more. I now have a new bucket list item. I have to go to the Chili Bowl next year, because I watched that on TV and everybody's told me you got to do it. How much fun did you have in the Chili Bowl?
Yeah, Chili Bowl is so fun. You know, it's a spectacular venue and race that has been going on for a long time. And, man, it's so tough to win. It's tough to make the A and compete. So everybody's showing up and you know, putting on really good racing every single night. You know, Monday to Saturday night is such good racing, and there's action everywhere on the racetrack. So definitely a lot of fun, and it's always kind of cool to start your year off going there and being around a bunch of racers that just enjoy it.
Yeah, and I mean, it's cool, too, to see, like, you and Larson, obviously, and Christopher Bell. I mean, there's a lot of the Cup regulars that go and run this thing in the quote-unquote off-season. But that's really cool that you guys can do that, because it's fun for you, but it also brings notoriety to, you know, short-track dirt racing.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, obviously, it's something that, you know, before we ever got to NASCAR, we were going to as well. And, you know, now you go back and more people watch it because of, you know, where we are in our career on the Cup side. So it's definitely a lot of fun. It's cool getting people like Chase and, you know, Santino Ferrucci, Connor Daly, people that you wouldn't ever think would, you know, run a dirt midget, come over and try it and have fun with it.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Hey, Ricky, great to talk to you as always. It's been a while, but good to talk to you again. And best of luck at the Clash, and of course in the 500 as well. We'll do it again soon.
Awesome. Thank you. Appreciate it.
And that's Ricky Stenhouse Jr., the driver of the number 47 JTG Doherty Racing Chevy in the NASCAR Cup Series. Of course, will be on the track for the Clash later on this afternoon. We'll have coverage from MRN Radio starting at 1:30 right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Coming up next, something that we've talked about on this show before. As we look at this new season, this new era of NASCAR that we're entering with the next-gen car, what is the relationship like between the sanctioning body and the drivers? And there's one driver in particular that has been very outspoken about that. You'll hear from him up next as you listen to Chasing Checkers. It's presented by Social Furniture on Charlotte Avenue in West Nashville. Shop local, shop social as you listen on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
If you've missed any of today's show, Just search Chasing Checkers on Apple, Spotify, or your favorite podcast platform.
And welcome back into Chasing Checkers here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, presented by Social Furniture on Charlotte Avenue in West Nashville. Shop local, shop social. Chase McCabe here with you every Sunday morning at 8. You can also listen on demand anytime at thegamenashville.com, chasingcheckersradio.com, or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for Chasing Checkers. Excited about Season 5. My appreciation to Ricky Stenhouse Jr. for joining us on the show this week. You'll hear from some of the best drivers from both IndyCar and NASCAR, as, of course, we have the Music City Grand Prix here, too, the Ally 400 at the Nashville Super Speedway, involved in all of those things on this show. I told you that there was a driver that has always been outspoken on a lot of things, a lot of issues in the sport, and you can probably take a guess on who it is. And I sat down with Denny Hamlin in December, and I remember comments he made at the Atlanta Motor Speedway about setting things up better for the drivers in the future, and that they have to take some control on working with NASCAR and, you know, having their voice be heard. And I that's always stuck with me. I was standing right there in the media scrum when he said that. And so I brought it up to him in December on how he views things now that he's got several different hats that he's wearing in his career, not just a driver, and how he views on things in working with NASCAR moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, I just think that, you know, the drivers deserve a seat at the table. Yeah. You know, not you don't always have to listen to the drivers. And listen, there's many things that opinions I have that are direct conflict of me being a team owner. But I'm a driver first, and then I'm a team owner second. And I believe that the drivers deserve to have a voice, you know, simply because they know more than anybody else when it comes to competition.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why I say as a driver, NASCAR, tell us what kind of racing you want, and we will help you achieve it through telling you what we need to do to the cars to make them put on the show that you're looking to put on. And obviously, when someone goes rogue and is like, design something and says, we're going to have this type of racing, we look at it and say, no, you're not. Like, that's not going to work. But I also had some meetings that I understand both sides of it as well. Like, there is more to it than just competition, right? Yeah. And so that's something that I've learned over the last 12 months is being in some of these meetings, seeing other people's perspective and why they make the decisions that they do.
The thing that I believe is going to be more important than it ever has before, and they don't have a driver's union. They tried that, didn't work. You know, they've had the driver's council. That's kind of gone. I mean, I guess it's still around, but it doesn't have a ton of power. But as the sport grows, and I do believe it's growing, maybe not to the point that it did in the 90s yet, but it is growing. You're going to have new TV deals coming around soon. What does that mean? Money. That means more money. You're going to have this new car. You know, if the racing is really, really good, you're going to put more butts in seats, which, again, means money. I believe it is more important than it ever has been for the drivers and the sanctioning body, NASCAR, to work together on things, to put on the best show possible for the people that spend their hard-earned money to go to these races. It's more important than it ever has been before, because even if they're not spending their money to go to the races, you want them to watch on TV because there's a ton of money involved in that too. So this is why guys like Denny Hamlin, I think, are important, because he's going to ask the questions that need to be asked to the sanctioning body to give the drivers that seat at the table. And they do deserve that. That's exactly what that both sides need from the other. And so I'm curious moving forward as they try new things and they try these new ideas like the Clash later this afternoon, you know, what that means. And I think you have a lot of drivers that look at the Clash for an instance. Hey, let's try it. Let's see what happens. It may suck and we won't have to do it again, but let's see what happens. Joey Logano talked about that earlier this week on trying new things.
Yeah, I think it's cool that we're doing different things, right? And I've been saying this all along. It's not the next gen car. It's next gen NASCAR. Everything is going to change with it. And obviously you guys know all the details that go along with that now. That's not just the car, it's different tracks, it's different formats, you know, it's different weekend formats, name it. So a lot of different things are going along with this. And I think there's a lot of good things with that. Going back to, like you said, some of the short tracks and routes of our sport is great. I don't know about quarter mile racing yet. Last time I was on a quarter mile, I was driving a Legends car and I was 9. So I think this is going to be pretty different. It's a full size car out there. I don't know what we're going to have for room, but it'll be interesting and we'll learn. Either way, we're going to know whether we want to do this again or not.
And the big thing for me is if a majority of the drivers get out of this and they come to NASCAR and they go, hey, that wasn't really a lot of fun. I don't know how it looked on TV, but it wasn't fun. And I don't think this worked. NASCAR needs to sit down and have a conversation. Now, we all know how drivers are when they first get out of the race car. So take some time, some cool down time, and then have a debrief and decide, yeah, you know what? Let's scrap it. It didn't work. It was a good idea. We tried it. It is what it is. But you got to listen to the drivers. You can't always give them what they want. I mean, Kyle Busch complaining about Atlanta, that's okay. But there's probably some truth to it in there somewhere. You got to, weed through it and then understand the crux of the situation. The crux of the situation was they weren't asked. They just did it. They just said, oh, hey, this is going to be a good idea. You're going to love it. And they're like, well, yeah, but what you want is not necessarily what you're going to get out of the rebuild. But I think that guys like Hamblin are important to the sport because they'll get people to listen. Now let's talk about this clash coming up later this afternoon. Again, Chasing Checkers here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Chase McCabe here with you. 1:30 is when the Motor Racing Network will take over today, and you'll hear their coverage of the Busch Light Clash at the LA Coliseum. Going to be a lot of fun. I don't know what to expect. I, have watched some of practice. I think they've been beating and banging, but you're seeing, guys like Chase Elliott and Kevin Harvick, Chase Briscoe, Justin Haley, Tyler Reddick, Larson, Kyle Busch, different names that have seemed to be showing that they have speed. But Briscoe, I mean, this, it's not dirt, it's asphalt, but it's that bull ring quarter mile. I mean, that's what you're gonna have to do to be able to win a thing like this. I just think it's gonna be fun, and I think I hope the drivers have fun as well. Chase Elliott gave his thoughts on running the Busch Clash.
Yeah, it's just crazy that we're already through January and, starting February more than anything. I just can't believe that time's flying like it is right now. But just, excited to get the season going. I think it's a great venue. I think it's going to be a fun event, and that's what it was intended to be, is a fun and exciting event to kick off our season. And I think it's going to do exactly that. So, if you're going to try something, that's a great race to go and try it with, because it's, no points. It's not like it really matters at the end of the day. So we'll either hit a home run as an industry or not, hopefully so. And I think it has a lot of potential to do that. So hopefully it's entertaining and people have fun watching and, at home and on TV. And then obviously the folks that are there, hopefully they can get that thing sold out and have a nice looking crowd.
Bottom line is it's just got to be fun. That's what you want. As the drivers, as the sport, sanctioning body, as the fans, you just want it to be fun. And I don't want to see a huge wreck fest. Now, I did on Darren Donick and Chase set the over-under of cautions in the feature at 15.5. I am worried that the over is going to hit. I said the over was going to hit just because of these cars being as big as they are, and there's not a lot of room to maneuver. Not a lot of passing zones, so I'm going to be curious of that. But listen, this is what they wanted, and this is what they're going to try. Martin Truex Jr., another one of the drivers that he did this through MRN, gave his thoughts on the clash.
Well, I expect it to be a little bit crazy. I mean, the track is very small. It's I've never raced a stock car on a track this small ever. I actually have never driven any race car period on a track this small other than go-karts. So it's going to be interesting. I think I feel like a lot of contact, a lot of rubbing, a lot of tire marks. Fortunately, you got the new composite bodies and we'll see what kind of impact they can handle. I think it's going to be pretty crazy. So if it goes well, obviously there's a lot of opportunities because you can put, you know, there's stadiums all over. There's, you know, small, you know, footprint areas that we could put racetracks. So you could go about anywhere if it works.
That's Martin Truex Jr. Giving his thoughts on the Busch Light Clash from the LA Coliseum. All right, you know what we have to do to wrap up every show. It's time for some Sunday money. The Busch Light Clash. This one, I think, is a crapshoot to try and figure out, you know, how this thing is going to go. But Denny Hamlin, Martin Truex Jr. are at plus 600. Chase Elliott at plus 650. I like Chase Elliott. He's been fast. I think that he could maneuver his way around this place. Kyle Larson at plus 800, a short track kind of fits his driving style as well. If you really want to kind of look at some practice speeds and go from there, Kevin Harvick plus 2,000 would be a good long shot bet as well. So, like I said, we're going to see how everything shakes out. It's going to be a lot of fun. We'll break it all down next week for you here on Chasing Checkers. Tune in every Sunday morning at 8. You can also keep up with things on Twitter at Chasing_Checkers, Chasing Checkers Radio on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. We'll be posting things there. And, of course, the podcast, Chasing Checkers, wherever you get your podcasts, on iTunes, on Google, on Spotify, on Amazon. We are on all of those platforms, but everything available at ChasingCheckersRadio.com and, of course, TheGameNashville.com. That's going to do it for this week's edition. Have a great rest of your Sunday. And a reminder, 1:30 today, the Busch Light Clash from the LA Coliseum. You can hear it right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game and The Game Nashville app.